pastor, James McDonald. That's, you know, when you know these kids before they were born, you know, you want to show them respect, right? You got to show these kids respect. But I will call him James. So if I do that, I am not doing that in any kind of way. I love Brother James. I love his family. Throughout so many years, I've seen faithfulness in the McDonald family. And it's because of his dad and mom. He raised some good boys that love the Lord. And we can all say praise the Lord for that, because that's a good thing. Glad to be up here in Bethel. Glad to be here in Canada. This is our first trip to Canada. My wife and I have been across the border once up in the Detroit area. I was up there for something, and I decided to cross the border. The guy said, what are you doing here? And I said, just want to drive around. And this was 25 years ago. And they let me drive around. I drove around, what is it, Windsor in Detroit? I think it was Windsor. So I drove around a couple of blocks and said, okay, I'm done. And I drove back across the border. So that was my extent of being here in Canada. But now that we're in Canada, man, we're having a great time. We're having a great time. And we're glad to be here. And we want to thank the church for allowing us to come. And I want to especially thank the Unger family. See Pastor Unger back there and his wife. Thank you. We go back a few years. He would come to church back in Indiana and preach. And I just remember the sermon. I don't remember the titles, but I remember the spirit of Brother Unger preaching. And I wherever I was sitting in the auditorium, we got to the auditorium quick to hear Brother. I'm not making this up. We got to the auditorium quick to hear Brother Unger preach, because I was impressed with humbleness in the content of his preaching. And I know you know what I mean. And I just loved to hear Brother Unger preach. Just loved to hear him preach. And it was a blessing. I want to thank you. Thank you and your wife. Thank you for your family. I've had the opportunity to work with, I don't know how many of the grandkids. They're at Fairhaven over the years. How many different kids that have come through the church here. I've had the opportunity to work with them. Good kids. They can take leaves and make, you know, peanut butter, and these kids can make, man, you guys have done a good job with these kids, and they make everything out of, you know, they bake and they stir, and what can't they do? What can't they do, man? It's like, and it's all good. Whatever I eat, it's all good. And we want to thank them for that. And then yesterday we were visiting, and I don't know where we were, but we were had a Bible study at this brother's house, Malilo, and had a great time. Thank you for that. We had a great time. And then we left, and we went past these folks' house, Luinda, and then we got some... I don't know what we ate. Gracious. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your hospitality. I really appreciate that. We'll take that back to Pennsylvania with us. As Christians, we are blessed. Are you glad you're saved? As a child of God, we are so blessed. And I'm going to preach on this today. But we're blessed. And I'm so thankful to be a Christian. And before I get, I wrote this down too. Bethel has some piano players coming up. Oh yeah, I've been in the McDonald home. and I hear these girls practicing piano. Yeah, and it's that you guys got some piano players coming up. So, yeah, they be looking forward to it. Yeah, just be looking forward. You see them walking around, just say this to yourself: there is a piano player coming. Like that pressure? Praise the Lord for kids practicing pianos and practicing instruments. I told them, because my girls did it, and I didn't like it when they were practicing. They were practicing violin and viola and piano, and it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. The squeaking and, you know, if they did squeak, you know, it was a success. But it became absolutely beautiful. And the kids put out a CD and things like that. So it went from, what in the world, to, wow. You have some piano players coming up. So we had fun listening to them practice. I can take it now because they're not my kids and I get to leave. So I can take it now, but it was good. I'm going to preach a message that goes along with the songs that we were singing today. I'm like, wow, that's God. The title of my message today is Living Life, excuse me, Living Life, God's Way. Living Life, God's Way. Luke chapter 9, if you would, turn there with me. Luke chapter 9. And verse number 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. I think, Pastor, what time are we normally done here? I know you probably told me, but about 11? Okay. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. The Bible says, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to be here at Bethel, to be with these dear folks. God, thank you, God, for how good you are to us. Father, you know my heart. I am so glad that I'm a Christian. I'm so glad that I can stand and say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But Father, you've given us a task as we're here today, and that is to live our life to please you. And I pray that as we look into your word, I pray that you would, as I always ask, I pray that you would meet with us, and I pray that you would draw us closer to you because we've been in your word. You've told us, God, that your word won't return unto you void. Father, it's not mine. It's your word. And I pray that you meet with us. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 23. And he said in Luke chapter number 9. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me. Could you read these four words with me? Let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angel. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? How often? How often? Daily. And follow me. In the passage of Scripture, God gives us a blueprint for living our lives. As a child of God, there is no excuse for just existing. But yet in our churches today, Christians are finding it so hard to live for Jesus. We're finding it so hard to open the book and follow the book. Well, today's message is living our life God's way. Are you glad you're saved today? I'm glad I'm saved. When I got saved back in 1978, I remember getting on my hands and knees in my sister's bedroom, and I remember praying and asking Jesus to come into my heart. You know what? He did. And I explain it like this. I remember the day that I got off my hands and knees from my sister's bedroom after I said, Jesus, please save me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Come into my heart and save me. And I remember getting up off my hands and knees, and I said it like this. When you see these kids going to school with backpacks on their backs, I remember when I got up off my hands and knees, I remember it was as if God took that backpack of sin off my back when I got up. And I knew I didn't have that weight of sin on me anymore. And I knew I was saved. I can stand up here and gladly tell you today, I'm saved. And I'm glad about it. I am, from that day, I am a Christian. That term simply means I am a little Christ. Christ dwells within who? Me. How many can testify to that? Christ dwells within me. The Bible just told us, don't be ashamed of that. As you're in the community, don't be ashamed of the fact that Christ dwells within me. As we look at this world, I know I'm in Canada, but please forgive me, I'm not. Politics is politics. I'm glad that I'm going home one day. Politics is not going to save this world. Christians that are living for God can. And God told us in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, God said, what? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You got a good example, Brother Unger, back there. Shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. God said he'll forgive their sin. You know what he'll do? He'll heal Canada. He'll heal America. Isn't that what he said? Is that what he said? Can he do it? What's so sad today is Christians, we're not living our lives God's way. And folks, I am not judging. But I think most of you would agree with me. But Christians are living our lives our way. And we're hoping that our way, that God's way, fits into our way. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan.
God's plan is for us to live this life God's way. God wants the unsaved to turn from sin and turn to God. God wants the saved to turn away from their sin and turn back to God. I don't want it to come across for one second that I'm saying life is easy and that it's easy to live the Christian life. I'm not saying that for one second. And as Brother James and I were talking yesterday, we're all made of flesh. And our flesh is prone to wander. Our flesh is prone to sin. We like our flesh. So don't think for one second that I'm saying that this life that we're living is easy. But we can live for God. What will it take for us to live our lives God's way? So this is a two-part sermon. This is a two-part sermon. The first part, this morning, we're going to talk about what it costs. We're going to talk about what it costs to live our life God's way. And then this afternoon, we'll talk about what we get. So this is the negative, if you will. The first part is the negative of what it costs to live our lives God's way. And we're going to look at some scriptures. First of all, we look at the pavement. It will cost, number one, our pride. If we're going to live our lives God's way, it will cost us our pride. Romans chapter 10. Let's look at some passage of scripture. Romans chapter number 10. One thing I remember our brother Unger, he preaches, he just goes through the scriptures. Undeniable, you can say what you want about it, you can like it, not like it, but it was coming from the Word of God. And Pastor Unger, please forgive me if I use your name too much today, but it's been an impact. So, and I'm not trying to lift any man up, but glory to God for people that stand for Him. So, anyway. Romans chapter 9. Chapter 10, verse number 9. Look what it says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember the day that you humbled yourselves and you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. You know what the world needs today? The world needs to swallow pride and say, you know what? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Matthew chapter 18. Turn with me. Matthew chapter number 18. And verse number 1. Matthew 18, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, and except ye be converted and become as, this is an amazing passage of scripture. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Except ye become as little children. You know what Jesus is saying? It's simple. It's simple. Salvation is simple. I know we're smart. I know we have college educations and you know we've lived a long time, and man, it's so complicated. You know what the passage of scripture simply says? The passage of scripture simply says salvation is simple. Amen. Except ye become as little children. But today we've become so smart. Ezekiel 18, the Bible tells us, Jesus says, the Bible says, God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why are people dying and going to this place called hell today? Why won't
people turn from their sin and turn to God and say, God, I need you. Christians have turned to God and they're turning back to their sin. Why don't they say, God, I'm sorry for my sins, and turn back to God? You know what it costs to live our lives God's way? It costs us our pride. It costs us our pride. We have to swallow our pride. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. We were on vacation one time, well, many times, and my wife said, you're going the wrong way. No, I'm not. The girl's in the back. Dad, I think you're going the wrong way. I think I just saw the store back in the exit. We just passed that. Nope. We're not going the wrong way. I drove for 30 or 45 minutes. And they were saying, Dad, I think we passed it. No, we didn't. Dad, we passed it. No, we didn't. Dad, you passed it. No. I remember looking at something and saying, can you look it up to see where we're supposed to be? Yeah. You have to go up here, take the exit, turn around, go back. The kids. I told you that. I told you that. Well, you're not supposed to tell me anything. You let your mom. I didn't say that. You been there? You can't tell me. You can't tell me. I've been here before. I've seen that tree over there before. I recognize that tree. I know I'm going the right way because I recognize that tree. 45 minutes later, Dad, I told you. Maybe I'm the only one guilty of this. But if we're going to live our lives God's way, we got to humble ourselves. God tells us. Sometimes we don't like what's being preached. But I've heard these preachers preach. And I've heard it said, they'll never be as hard as this book on you as a child. Because God said, humble yourself. The pastor can say it. We can get mad at him. Go ahead. But you're not mad at him. You know who you're mad at? You're mad at God. I said this. When I was a little kid, I wish that the verse, children obey your parents in the Lord, wasn't in the Bible. I had no idea why God put it in the Bible as a child. Because when I was out that 10 days long, Mom said, come in. Who wanted to come in? As a parent, Jesus said, you look at that verse. Thumbs up. Two, children obey your parents. You heard what Jesus said. You heard. We're like that in our lives. And Jesus says, except you become as this child, the biggest decision we'll ever have to make in our life, the biggest decision, I would not argue that with anyone,
But eternity is at stake with that very decision of salvation. The biggest decision we'll ever make in our entire lives is the decision of salvation. And you know what Jesus says? Except you become as a little child. If there was a child in here, I would have that child come up here and stand. And we're so much smarter than a child. And Jesus said, you're so smart. You're so smart, aren't you? Except you become as this little child. You're not going to heaven. It cost us our pride.
Number two, it cost us the pleasures of sin. Turn it with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Romans, chapter number 6. Romans, chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I say it like this. Old, we sing a song. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I mean, heard it before. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I got to say, in 1978, I was a Motown fan. Michael Jackson, Jackson 5. First time they came on TV, 1960-something, I saw them on TV. I was upstairs in my, in I don't know whose room. I was upstairs in one of the bedrooms. I seen them come up on come on TV. And I remember running downstairs, because there's 10 of us kids. I remember running downstairs into wherever everybody was. I said, you guys got to come and watch this. You guys got to come and watch this. Everybody ran upstairs, and there they were on TV, the Jackson 5. Now, some of you don't probably don't know who that is. We bought the records. Our neighbors would have dance contests. I won dance contests, won money, dancing to the songs. If you said three lyrics to a song, I was finished. Right now. Because it was good. It was good. I saw him on Soul Train. I saw him on American Bandstand. I saw him on all those programs, and it was good. But I got saved. I got saved. And then this lightning. I got saved. So what was the change that was on the inside was new, but the outside, guess what it wanted? So the war started. Who's going to win? The body of flesh? Or the change? Hey, Elsa! I'm sorry, I didn't even see you back there.
I won't embarrass you. I won't embarrass you. But I do love that girl right there. No, we sung Sue. I didn't even see you back there. I'm sorry.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the flesh.
We had some good times back home.
You know what? I loved it. I had a filthy mouth. And I remember getting on my hands and knees. And I remember praying, saying, God, I want to have victory over this music. God, I want to have victory over this bad mind. This is how God gave me victory.
This is how he gave me victory. I told him, I said, God, I'm going to stop.
This is what we're talking about, that repentance as a Christian. And God will show you mercy. But I remember walking through school. And I would say a bad word to somebody. A curse word. And I remember as I was walking, I said a curse word. I would continue walking. And in my heart and in my mind, I would stop and pray. And I would say, Father, please forgive me. I'm sorry for doing it. And I will stop. As I was working on that, I was doing that about 50 times a day. Same way when the music came on, I would say, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And you know what happened? That change started happening. Todd, you don't cuss anymore, do you? Todd, there's a party. You want to come to the party? Todd, you want to sing this song with us? God has given me victory. You know, as a child of God, it costs us our pleasures of sin. You're a child of God. God says, stop.
God says, stop it. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is what? And do what? Cleave to that which is good. Now, if you worked in a nursery or kids, you take this mom with a little baby. The little baby loves mom, right? A lot of times when a baby sees somebody that it doesn't know, and that person that doesn't know the baby can reach their hands up and try to take the baby. And that baby, a lot of times, is going to do what? Scream like somebody's is hurting baby. Right? That little baby, just the instinct, is going to do what to his mom? Or whoever's holding it. It's going to say, ah! And just hold on tighter. Right? It's just going to hold on tighter because that baby abhors what it's seen. That baby is saying, no, I'm scared. And it's clinging to its mom or dad or whoever it's comfortable with. The baby's comfortable with. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Do what? As a child of God, love Jesus. And when you see evil, don't say it's okay. And you know what we've said today? We've said evil is okay. Would you agree with me? we've said evil is okay. And it would be good for us as a child of God to see, not what Todd is saying about evil, because I'm not going to be that hard. I'm not going to be that hard. But to look to see, is that Jacob? No. Josh, I mean, yeah. I didn't see you when we were at we were at our house. What? In Switzerland. No, you weren't there. You were. Wasn't something you and I were? Then I see. Weren't we at?
You came with the Martins, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. But we were at your house, right? Good to see you. Yeah. Well, Josh worked for me. He worked for me. Or with me. Good workers. Good worker. David was a good one, too. He was a good worker. I'm sorry. Just good memories. I'm sorry. Good worker. They could make any. I mean, these kids can cook. They can make anything. Good workers. I'm sorry. That's, blame Brother Unger. That's his fault right there. Brother Unger, you see what you did? Blame him. Sangsu, where was that? Don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover the evil. Teach our kids evil is bad. It would be a good study to find out what this book says about it. Not what Todd is saying about it. Because like I said, I'm not going to be that hard on it. I tend to be soft on it. But look to see what the Bible says about it. And you'll see, and you'll say, like we all, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll say, I have a problem. I have a problem. I have a problem. Because I simply say it like this too. I'm going to stand before the same God that everybody in here is going to stand before. I am going to give an account to the same God that everybody else in here is going to stand before. And when it gets hot at my judgment, oh yeah, I'm blaming somebody. God, I was listening to Brother Unger, and he just didn't preach that hard. Blame him. The reason why I wasn't as hard as is, well, I wasn't right because Brother Unger, Brother James, you didn't preach. Blame him. You know what Jesus is going to say?
I've given you what? The Word of God. It's going to cost us our pleasures of sin. It's going to cost us, number three, our position. John 15:18-19. I won't look at it. The world will hate you because it hated me, the Bible says. We shouldn't be comfortable in this world. Acts 26:9. It's going to cost us our position. Number four, it costs us our possessions. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I do want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter number 19. You're probably saying, man, this Christian life, this is, wow. Wow, it's something. But for us that have lived, you know,
It's not about all what we've lost, because we're going to talk about what we get in a few minutes. Look what Matthew 19, verse number 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, and go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Isn't that a sad verse? Okay, I'm going to use my wife. Don't get mad. Okay. And the only reason I say that, because I didn't tell her I was going to do this. So I'm going to be very careful. Because we have to go home in a couple of days, and it's a long drive. So, although there's, we got 30 years, but, I know my place. But we're talking about possessions, right? And I knew I was going to preach it. But the other day, some Sue said to me, Todd, I got to go get a dress because I don't have any dresses. I said nothing. I said nothing. But his mind went to work.
I'm going to kind of stop here because I think you guys know where I'm going. Right? Okay.
Storage units. We don't storage units in our realm of life are full of what? Possessions. They're full of possessions. This young man who went to Jesus saying, Jesus, what do I need to do? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We like our stuff so much. We hold on to our stuff. Our stuff becomes so precious to us. We're all good people. I don't want nobody to take my tools. I have possessions that I just, they're mine. But I've been to a lot of funerals. I've preached a lot of funerals. You know what I've never seen? I've never seen a suitcase and a gas. Somebody's going to go take all that stuff. And yet, we take our possessions and we hold on to them. And what do they do sometimes? They cause us heartache, pain, unfaithfulness. People won't come to church because of possessions. When you think God looks down at heaven sometimes and looks at us, I know he does. He says, what should I profit me? You take all of this stuff and you put it before me. I am guilty. You know what I have to say? God, I'm sorry. These possessions are not more important than you.
they're not more important than you.
Costs us our prosperity, and last of all, it costs us our person. Luke chapter 9, verse number 24 says, you have to lose your life in order to gain it. You have to lose your life in order to gain it. Romans chapter 12, and I'm done. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. God, I am whose? The title of the sermon is simply, Living Your Life God's Way. We're not going to be sorry for living your life God's way. Brother Unger, have you ever met a person who's been a Christian for 30, 40 years that's ever told you, as a Christian that loved the Lord, that they regretted living for the Lord? It's not possible with Jesus. I've never met anybody that said, I'm sorry, I've lived my life God's way. I've been to the prisons, I've been to the nursing homes, I've been in the funeral homes, I've been all over, and I've heard people say, I made some bad decisions and it's cost me, because they decided that they weren't going to live their life God's way. Ladies and gentlemen, I tried to preach what the Bible said. I simply tried to preach what the Bible said and what the Bible says. As I was talking to Pastor James yesterday, I would never want to stand up here and offend one person in this room. Never. I would never want to stand up here and become a stumbling block to one person in this room. But I'm not going to ever stand up here and say I'm ashamed of what this book says. Because I have to stand before God one day. And God says if I'm ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of me. I don't know everybody in here, but I can tell you I love you. But I don't want to have a problem with God because of you. So I think it's just best we live our lives God's way.